Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Claire McKee, your host for Women Lead Radio, the entertainment edition, Boss Babes Behind the Scenes. I'm filling in for the lovely Erica De La Cruz, and our topic today is being in the driver's seat of your own life and overcoming obstacles through a healthy, happy mindset. Our leading lady joining us today is Jean Ferris. Jean is an award-winning journalist and writer who also refers to herself as a pen for hire. She enjoys covering food, travel, charities, lifestyle, trends, and more. Good morning, Jean. Thank you so much for being here today.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited. Yes, me too, twins. So before we dive right in, I want to hear really quickly about your weekend, because I heard that you hosted a ton of teenage girls at your house. So how did you survive?
It was a lot of fun. We have a lot of polite friends, and there were actually boys present. So, of course, like most social outings, the girls outnumbered the boys. But they were all on their best behavior, and it's not without a sense of humor that you can host a bunch of excitable kids. It was a great success. We had a lot of activity stations. Of course, they all wanted to run off the cliff and go explore the polo fields.
So you weren't stressed at all. You weren't just trying to wrangle a bunch of teenagers. No big.
Nope. No. Mm-mm.
Well, I'm glad that you are here with us this morning after your fun weekend. Let's jump right in and let people know what Jean Ferris is all about. So tell me to start with, how did you get into journalism in the first place? Kind of paint the picture for us.
In the early 80s, I started acting by way of karate. There was a team assembled. And originally, it was with the intent to make a film about 10 martial artists. Keep in mind that diversity of women being in stunt work was not common. Now Everybody's a martial artist. And the team was about 10 young women, and we were being trained for a film called Mag 10, which was based on the Magnificent Seven, except we weren't cowgirls. We were going to be undercover martial artists doing field work in the government. And from there, I spent about 15 to 18 years going on go-sees, which is go see that person, go see this person, auditions, and just trying to break the ceiling, if you will. And, you know, at the time, there were not a lot of ethnic actresses being hired. Now it's everywhere. It's nothing but. So I was born too early. And then I met my now husband, fell in love with him. He came down to sunny San Diego. I came down to visit him. We had a great romance, train romance. I took the train every weekend. And it became harder and harder to leave San Diego. So I decided to jump in and live by the ocean and watch the dolphins and try a different way of making my words count. So instead of counting my lines, I was counting my words. And as a journalist, you know, it's all about word count.
Were you always interested in journalism? Is that something you always kind of had in the back of your mind?
Writing stories, yes. I was always journaling. journaling my stories, and I've actually resurrected quite a few short stories that I wrote when I was a young teenager and have reinvented them into creative fictional stories.
How neat.
So, yes, writing has always been part of my vernacular, if you will.
Well, I think there's an interesting lesson or nugget to take away from what you just shared with us is that you were really interested in becoming an actress. You ran with it full speed ahead and, you know, really did your best to make that work. But the reality is that, you know, not everything always works out. So how did you kind of take that, sit with it, and move on to the next adventure without, you know, feeling defeated or really getting down on yourself?
You know, I have had quite a few of my daughter's friends ask me for acting advice, and I tell them to always make sure you really believe in who you are so that no one can ever take away the true essence of yourself, because really, as an actor, there is a little bit of you in every role, and if you can keep the integrity of who you are, essentially, then that can withstand rejections, because there are going to be rejections. It's just the nature of the business. You don't get every role. You walk away, you go back for 5 callbacks, and you start to question your talent and who you are and how can you make a difference when you can't even do that, you know, get a small tiny role on a big picture. So it's really essential to really, really be strong in who you are and believe that you have something, no matter what that person says, and not take it personally. It's hard not to take it personally when you look in the mirror every day. And so when I came down here, I thought, oh, smaller pond, bigger fish. But it really was a smaller pond. And it felt good not to have to worry about, oh, is this piece of cake going to add on tomorrow on camera? And I actually enjoyed eating whatever I could when I wanted to and venting my creativity into the stories, which really we know that's what makes a movie stand time is the story, because they keep doing redos. The story stands. Mm-hmm. So the core of the story is what I went back to. And not so much me.
That's interesting. And do you attribute that to like a strong role model in your life? I mean, having a really strong sense of self is something that a lot of people struggle with, especially when, you know, you're younger and may not be 100% sure of who you are yet.
Yes, I do believe that environmental, you know, a strong, stable family, and if you don't have that, then you need to pursue other studies that help to cement that, you know, whether it be yoga, whether it be volunteering at a shelter, you know, you keep working on the self-worth, keep working on feeling worthy so that you don't look to the outside for worthiness. It comes from inside.
Such a great point. And I think that that's an investment that will pay you back 10 times over every time.
Yes, yes. I tell all the young ladies, it's been mostly ladies who've been young ladies asking me, you know, what to do. And I say, finish college, keep doing that, keep going in the path. You know, it's all timing. I might have stepped away too early, who knows, but I did. And I figure, if I wanted to go back to it, there's no reason why I can't, you know?
Such a great point. You're absolutely right. It's never too late, you know?
It's never too late.
Full force ahead, for sure.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Jean, of all the stories you've written or covered, what one has had the biggest impact on you? What's the most memorable one, you would say?
I think the one that's had the biggest impact on me is writing about the language revitalization that's occurring in all of the American Indian tribes. I've been writing for news from Native California, which is a magazine dedicated to California Indians. And there's a crisis occurring because the indigenous languages are disappearing with the elders who are dying and taking the language with. The young children are not interested in speaking the languages because they want to be successful in the business world in the language that's spoken is English. So it's been a challenge to resurrect those languages from dying out, and I've been covering different tribes here in San Diego regarding young people who are trying to revitalize it through camps and outside language camp groups from the public school system. Even the American Indians are in the public school system. So it's been a challenge for them to revitalize their cultural heritage. And that's
wow, that
been,
is fascinating.
It's been a, it's really been, it's starting to become such a focus for me in what movies I watch, what cultural events I've been attending. You know, it's been really wonderful to be on the fringe of that, and yet also I'm highly honored that they would consider me being non-Indian to even be writing about an article on something that I didn't grow up with. You know, a lot of the writers are can speak to their tribes and are authorities on their own cultural identities.
How
so
are you
I'm
introduced
proud
to
be
that?
Part of that. You know, I solicited an editor on one of the tribes down here, and she came back to me, how do you feel about writing about the Pala tribe, for instance? Their eldest speaker is 89, and she's the last one. And I thought, wow, who would have thought about that? So I did some research fairly quickly and immersed myself in it for several weeks. And it was really an education for me, and now I'm actually considering taking a few classes at the Cuyamaca College. It's the only college that offers cultural, immersion in the Kumeyaay tribe.
Wow. So what I'm kind of hearing here, it makes you think, what legacy are we leaving, right? I mean, what are we going to take with us when we pass? And, you know, are there things that we wish that we would have shared with our loved ones? It makes you think, mm-hmm. you know, we should probably get on that sooner rather than later, right?
Yes, yes. And I actually had asked one of the facilitators of the camps, I said, I asked him, so how do you feel about, you know, a lot of the ethnologists who are studying indigenous languages worldwide, that your language is dying? And he actually brought up a good point. He said, I don't like focusing on a dying language. Why would an 8-year-old be inspired to learn a dying language? They need to be excited about a language that is being revitalized through them. And so it gave me a different point of view.
So, Jean, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I'm recovering from a cough. I myself grew up in a Tagalog language, which is the native language of the Filipinos. I didn't mm-hmm. want to learn it. I was going to an American school. I wanted to learn English. So it kind of brought me back to my own experience of not learning my native tongue. And I actually felt a great regret not taking mm-hmm. the time. Now, in my case, there's 97 dialects of Tagalog. So I actually had to translate from my mother to the driver in English because they didn't understand each other. So
wow.
It's not, yes, you know, when you have 97 dialects, when Tagalog doesn't just go across the board, whereas in the Pala tribe, it's one. Capeño is one language. There are no dialects of Capeño. It's just one dialect.
It's almost, you sort of have to think of it as an obligation that you have to your ancestors and
yes.
your generations to come, right?
Yes, and that's a big part of their honoring their ancestors is critical to the future of you know, those before us, those after us, those with us.
Well, Jean, if you can believe it, we're about halfway through, and I want to make sure that people are able to contact you if they have questions for you, or maybe they want to read one of your articles, or maybe they'd like to hire you to write an article on their behalf. What is the best way that someone can reach you?
www.jeanferris.com, and there's a link there, contact@jeanferris.com. It's an email, a direct email, and I check it every week.
Perfect. And just so everyone knows, Jean is spelled J-E-A-N-N-E, Ferris, F-E-R-R-I-S. So jeanferris.com.
Yes,
Jean, we're
thank you for that,
gears
Claire.
Here. Yeah, absolutely. No problem. Want to make sure people know where to find you. So switching gears a little bit, I know this is a topic of conversation for us regarding fake news. So it's kind of everywhere, right? And it's often
yes.
difficult for people to discern whether it's real, credible news or if it's completely, you know, blasphemous. So in that way, I would say the internet is the greatest gift, but also our greatest curse with the ability for misinformation to ultimately go viral, just like true and credible information would. So what are some things that we can do as content consumers to really ensure that the things we're reading are the real deal and that the things we're sharing on our social media, we're not perpetuating that fake news cycle?
The newspapers still have AP guidelines, which is Associated Press guidelines, and the Associated Press still has very stringent fact-checking guidelines for their journalists, and that's that could be international. So often you'll see borrowed articles in, like, say, Chicago Sun or the Washington Post. And, you know, and even those newspapers get under fire for slanting their articles to their own
mm-hmm.
certain agenda. But sometimes articles are borrowed from API, which is Associated Press International. And those are very well-respected correspondents traveling the world and reporting true news, whether it's from war zone sites or breaking news in other parts of the world, and they're reporting back, hey, look, you know, those are the watchdogs. Those are hopefully always, if you're putting your life on the line, you can rest assured those watchdogs are reporting back to the Western civilization what's going on. And, you know, I think you have to cross-check all newspaper articles, all magazine articles. People do let things slide through, but I think you need to check with more than one source.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a general distribution of basic facts, then you can rest assured, because the spirit of free press is so critical to the future of safeguarding our freedom here in America. And free press was created through newspapers. So we can't let those die out. I know that a lot of people read their newspapers online, so that's still the same feed. But to just read other sources, you know, even Snopes is under fire. So Snopes used to be the agency for fact-checking internet news, and now they're under fire because everybody has their own agenda of what they want to accomplish. And it doesn't make them wrong. and it doesn't make them right. It just makes it a slanted viewpoint. So it's important to get a fair and balanced dissemination of information.
Well, and I can imagine with all the information out there, how could they even possibly keep up? I mean,
yes.
Talk about data overload, right?
It is. It is data overload. Even I have to shut it off. Too much information all the time. You have to rest your mind and make sure your opinion is your own and not parody other people's opinions. Is that truly what's happening? You know, does it feel genuine? I think sometimes it's hard to trust our own instinct, which is very often accurate because we second guess ourselves onto what's real.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, when you have that inkling. Go ahead.
Go with your gut, right?
Yes.
I want to talk about how your mantra, if you will, is being kind to everyone. And I am all the way with you on this. I think that especially in the boss babe space, women need to uplift other women. We need to stop comparing ourselves to each other. What is the saying about the flower? It blooms. It doesn't compare flowers around. We're all so unique and different. And so where does that being kind from everyone, why is that so important to you, and how are you employing that in your life and business?
I think in business, you know, a lot of people who are extremely busy being successful can oftentimes forget that a kind gesture, a kind word to someone who may be parking their car or picking up their dirty dish off the table in a restaurant is seeking their, you know, inspiration. We're always modeling. You're always modeling behavior. Whether it's good behavior or bad behavior, you're always modeling. And as a leader, it's important to inspire and create a path for others behind you. Excuse me, leaving the world a better place through inspiration. And that's our responsibility as women who are leading. Help others help themselves.
Lead by
example. And be kind. Yes. You know, sometimes I'll pass someone on the street who just looks so sad. And I'm in a hurry too. I'm on the way. I might be late for an appointment. It takes so little to smile at them and say, "That's a pretty color on you." And just lift them. Lift them from wherever they're at. You never know what that person's experiencing.
You're absolutely right.
And that can go far. And it just, I don't know, it takes so little to be kind.
It does. But that's the thing, you know, what are you losing out on by being kind? Absolutely nothing.
And it's important to be respectful to everyone. You know, everybody deserves that.
Absolutely.
So,
didn't you get some inspiration from Kate Spade?
Yes. I read that she, when she first started her company, next to the employee handbook, each employee received Emily Post's Book of Etiquette because she felt customer service wasn't just customer service. It was being informed and knowledgeable about the little things, please, thank you, you know, down to the production line. It wasn't just for the executives. It was down to the production line because you never know when you're going to be moving up, and that'll serve you well. So it's the little things in life.
Then, right? It's a snowball effect, and you never know who you're going to rub off on and influence the next chain of people to just be better and happier and kinder to one another.
And it's funny because every time I pick up one of her purses or look at one of her designs, I think of that. I think she's being kind. She's being mannerly. She's, you know, I think that could be the root of success for a long time, is if you take that with you wherever you go. And that in itself is success.
Here's a question for you, Jean. You know, when life is going good and things are happy and cheery, it's often a lot easier to be that happy, sweet person and influence others to be that way too, and really, you know, rub off on them in that regard. But tell us, how do you maintain that through disappointment or anger? Maybe you have reached an obstacle that you need to overcome. How do you keep that mindset and maintain that level of happiness?
I think it's important to remember that we all experience life through, it's like a tide. The tide comes and the tide goes. And we all have those ebbs and flows. And we all have to put on our pants one leg at a time. We all have to inhale and exhale. And I think that when you do something like volunteering with the disadvantaged or the hungry, it reminds us of what's most important. And I think when you're disappointed or angry, those are the touchstones, you know. How are you? You just have to rise above it. You really have to maybe wallow in it for a day or two in disappointment and self-pity. But the pity party, it has to be short-lived.
Gotta go.
I think, yeah. You can't wallow in the pity party. You need to exit and find a different party. Find a different party, but don't stay at the pity party, because it's just going to only be there. It doesn't go up from there. It just stays there. So you have to find ways to elevate.
Too, I would say, is another big thing. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I take long walks on the beach. I look at the simple things in life. I think that nature is the most healing availability we have on this planet. If you can immerse yourself in the big trees or the mountains or the ocean, then you can experience some healing from the negativity that can bog us down. We're human.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointment's a part of life.
And I think there's always going to be tomorrow, period.
Well, God willing, you know.
God
willing, because sometimes when I say something like that, and I know somebody just lost a partner or a parent or a child, it starts to sound like a bumper sticker. There's always tomorrow, because sometimes there isn't tomorrow. And that could be a pit right there, thinking there's always tomorrow.
And I think that goes back to the perspective. There's always someone who has it worse. There's always someone going through
mm-hmm.
something a little bit crazier. And when we can remind ourselves that we're not always going to be going through this, that, you know, there is a positive minute coming and we just have to create that for ourselves, I think that's how we move on and ultimately grow, right?
Yes, I think you need to live for today and forgive. If you don't forgive today, then you will have regrets. So forgiveness is definitely the key.
Thank you so much for everything you have shared today. I am absolutely sure that you have empowered and inspired our boss babes out there to really, you know, take away these little golden nuggets that you've shared with them. And so I really appreciate your time. Just want to say thank you again to Jean Ferris for being our leading lady today, and a special thanks to all of our listeners, of course. We couldn't do this without you. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show, as we're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Our next leading lady this Friday is at 2, and that is Strategic Communications Manager Deanna Potter. She will be joining host Michelle Berquist to discuss goal setting and strategic planning for high performance. That's all I have for you today. So much for listening to Women Lead Radio, Boss Babe Behind the Scenes Edition. I'm Claire McKee. It has been an absolute pleasure to be your host today. And as I sign off, I have one request for all of you boss babes out there, and that is to go love everyone you see, because it starts right here with us. Thanks again.
Thank you, Claire. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.